Hello, this is Robert Rickover at Body Learning, and today my guest is Mustena Nazarian, who is an Alexander Technique teacher in Melbourne, Australia. And we're going to talk today about her experiences growing up in war-torn Iran and how the Alexander Technique has helped her deal with some of the fallout from that experience. Mustena, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
And thank you for being on the show. And I hope I got your first name pronounced correctly, Mustena, right?
Yes, that's getting better all the time.
Yeah, right. Mustena, before we talk about your experiences and what role the Alexander Technique played in helping you with them, someone asks you what the Alexander Technique is, and you've just got a half a minute or so. What do you tell them?
Alexander Technique is a method of self-awareness that allows the person to become an observer of how they react to situations. So about what the habitual responses might be to situations.
Mm-hmm. And I assume that your early life experiences did create some habitual reactive patterns that were maybe necessary at the time, but not useful later on. Would that be fair to say?
Yeah. I was born in 1973, and in 1978 or 9, the revolution started in Iran, and it really did affect the life outside of home, and in some ways it also affected the life inside of home, because we became possible immigrants for about 6 years. So you can kind of imagine the energy inside the house was one that, are we going to leave? Are we not going to leave? Are we going to leave? Are we not going to leave? And it's so this constant, almost flight and flight response. And as a child growing up, I wasn't able to obviously label that, but it definitely is something that can enter under one's skin, as it were. Perhaps even, you know, form parts of one's personality. But as a youngster, I remember being, accidentally exposed to quite graphic images from what was going on, supposedly going on in the streets. And one that I remember was it was in a newspaper, and it was a picture of a young boy holding up a severed foot. And recently I realized that's probably the basis of my love for surrealist art.
Right.
So it's been this amazing journey of kind of being shocked by that probably as a 5-year-old, and then being intrigued to search for a way of creating order within the disorder that I was exposed to. Especially in school, there was a lot of instability, and there was a lot of hostility, and you may remember, or your parents may remember, but I grew up to, I think, year 6 or 7 in a situation where they could hit you in school if they wanted to. And so it became a very sort of tense situation outside the house, and within the house it was things were going on fine, but it was also tense, because we didn't know if we were going to stay, and we didn't know if we were going to leave. And
right. And were kids hitting you because they knew that your family wanted to immigrate?
It wasn't the kids, actually.
No, teachers.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Wow.
So they
knew, and they took it out on you.
I suppose it was systematic or random. I'm not sure, but I'm from a Jewish background, and one of the first things that the Khomeini's regime took up was the whole Israel and Palestine question.
Oh, okay,
That's another thing that's sort of under my skin, as in I can't bear to watch anything about it on the news because it's just going to like, would you guys just stop, you know?
Right.
So, yeah, we were sort of in the Jewish school, but with very, I suppose, right-wing Islamist kind of people running the school.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
What an odd situation that must have been.
Yeah, I suppose it was odd.
Yeah. So, you got to America when you were 11 years old, and did you at that point or in your teenage years, did you have any insights or awareness of some of these patterns that may have already started to develop, fight or flight patterns, or were you pretty oblivious at that point?
Well, I would say that the fight and flight pattern started showing up as a feeling, pretty much what some of your listeners might be able to relate to as sort of stomach butterflies, I suppose you call them.
Mm-hmm.
And there was like a constant sort of underlying level of buzz, uncomfortable buzz throughout the teenage years and before that as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I suppose I was aware of it. I got very interested in music, and I found that as a source of being able to start a practice, you know, start a mm-hmm. practice that had a goal,
mm-hmm.
that sort of was an outlet of sorts. Yeah.
Right. So at some point you were motivated to explore the Alexander technique. How did that come about?
Well, in college, I met another student. I went to music school, and she was a singer who was taking a break from singing. And she said that, you know, she'd had some vocal problems, and she'd found the Alexander technique. And then a few months on, I saw her perform in one of our recitals. And I was really, really impressed by the simple quality that was kind of not just about her voice, but about her voice and movement and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And next thing I know, I'm reading Alexander's writing.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And then little by little, I was in the situation where I could afford a course of lessons, and I found it very, very useful.
Right. Well, so it sounds like one of the things that attracted you was this other woman's bearing, almost more than even her singing. Would that be fair to say?
Yeah, I suppose it was that sense of groundedness and simplicity in the communication as well.
Mm-hmm.
She was doing one of a couple of people who was doing a backups in the R&B tune, and there was something so honest about how she moved and how she sang. It wasn't put on at all. It wasn't about what the audience might want to, you know, see or hear. It was just very, very honest and grounding and grounded. So, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so did you find that the lessons you had helped you achieve some measure of that same quality in yourself?
I suppose to a certain extent, it gave me the tools to practice.
Mm-hmm.
I very much think that the Alexander technique is not about getting something and that's it. It's about instilling a process, and that you become empowered with your experiences through practicing that.
And so as you continue that practicing, as sort of a side effect, perhaps, did you notice that the symptoms, the kinds of symptoms you had noticed earlier, lessened?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. It's to do with how we get in the way of allowing our daily movements to be easeful,
mm-hmm.
and how just really quite indirectly the Alexander technique through its practical procedures and through its basic frameworks can, as I said before, allow us to become an observer of what our habits are.
Right.
And then it allows for a lot more choice in how we react and how we respond.
Right. And I'm just want to just read a line from your website, which I think really expresses this very well. You write that by addressing the core of who I am and not necessarily delving into the underlying story that had become a fixed and unreal self-image, the Alexander technique has given me the tools and understanding to place conscious choice between everyday happenings and my responses to them. Mm. Which I think is a absolutely brilliant description of what the technique can do. And it also makes it very clear, I think, that it's not a therapy in the sense that most people understand therapy. We don't diagnose we don't diagnose illnesses, or we're not psychotherapists or anything like that. We just basically, Alexander teachers can give you tools for working on yourself.
That's right. That's exactly what it is. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, if we could fast forward a bit to obviously at some point you decided to become a teacher.
Yeah. It was like a 10-year point, Robert.
Right. Right. And, I assume that the training, Alexander training course, in part, at least is kind of a concentrated immersion in Alexander learning on the part of the people on the course. And would it be fair to say that the increased well-being that you noticed earlier continued while you were on the training course?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Just having the time and the contact with the aspects of the technique and with the technique itself was definitely helpful. The training course is a sort of a three-year period where one decides to commit to that process again and again and again. Mm-hmm. So within that, I definitely say that the training 3 years of training was a happy part of my life, but I don't mean happy as in very jolly. So it does have its roller coaster rides.
Absolutely, yeah, because emotional stuff can come out.
Absolutely,
and
it also gives you renewed commitment, as I said, and how to deal with things, because you realize that in the end your whole world is really based on how you decide to react. So being able to put a little bit of a pause between the event and the way you decide to react is quite a powerful thing. It's very empowering. And
I would say about that you hear that idea presented by a lot of people. It's not just Alexander teachers who might talk in those terms, but I do think that the Alexander technique provides very specific methodology for doing that, and that to me is one of its greatest strengths.
Yeah, absolutely. Because it allows both people, the teacher and the student, to learn and relearn how to return to a natural place of movement. And if the lesson is instilled in the on the principle that movement and thinking are really the same thing, then through the movement, other things, your state of mind, the way you frame things for yourself, the way you frame yourself, can also return to a more dynamic and, in my case, unfixed kind of place, which is lovely, which is allows more energy, allows more time, and allows a wider perspective.
Right. And we're running a little bit towards the end of our time frame, but I don't want to end with that. We talked earlier before the interview about whether you have as clients, particularly people with anxiety disorder, and you said not specifically, but that your experience with having the technique help you with anxiety disorder issues very much informs your teaching in general. I believe that's what you said. And if that's the case, could you just elaborate on that a little bit for our listeners? What that means in terms of how you teach and how does that inform your teaching?
Well, essentially, I practice the principles in teaching, and the first one is to allow space. And usually, the student will be able to provide a little bit of information as a way in, as a sort of a compassionate and sort of empathic, based on empathy. Mm-hmm. A way into the situation that I'm presented with. And I find that by working on really simple movement, like sitting or standing or walking, that we're able to reframe the energy that we're both dealing with, you know, being able to reframe things in the perspective of moment by moment change, rather than, you know, I can only do this because someone else told me that I can only do that. And that could really apply to, well, I can only bend so far, and because someone told me I can only bend so far, I was like, wait, let's come to this space and look at the joints of movements, looking at our connections and looking at our relationship with gravity.
So someone discovers that they have of physical abilities that they perhaps had been told they didn't or didn't think they had, and that to a certain extent opens up the possibility that there might be other limitations that they have inadvertently put on themselves that may not necessarily be permanent.
Absolutely, yes.
And again, I think that's an extraordinarily powerful way of getting at those, quote, non-physical, unquote, issues by going in right at the physical level, which is pretty easy for many people to notice. And, you know, it's pretty grounded in reality, as you say, our relationship with gravity and stuff like that. I mean, you can't get much realer than that. And so that, I mean, that to me is kind of always been a fascinating aspect of the technique, that it deals with observable phenomena. It's not,
absolutely,
you know, it's
absolutely.
not. So is there anything you want to add before we bring our conversation to an end?
Just that really now exploring how the Alexander technique has commonalities with other practices. And just based on that last thing you said, coming to the physics of natural movement has an incredible power to reconnect us to ourselves. And then from there, we can continually sort of re-explore our self-image. And by doing that, we can, you know, look at our habits and perhaps undo them. And it's incredible what time can do.
Absolutely.
with the right kind of practice. And
And you know, there's a well-known Alexander Technique teacher. He's been dead a number of years now, Patrick McDonald, who has written several things on the technique. And one of the most interesting phrases that appears in one of his books, that in terms of human anatomy, he says the facts are favorable. That is, our structure, if we really understand it and how it can function, if we don't interfere with that, everything is set up in a way to encourage ease and efficiency of movement.
Absolutely.
If that's true on a physical level, it must be true, at least to some extent, maybe completely, on emotional and mental levels as well. Don't you think?
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely. I completely agree with you there. And it's not always easy or not easy, and it's not always happy or not happy. But once one gets into a taste of the flow of things.
Right, right.
It's quite contagious. It's nice, you know.
It can be extraordinarily contagious, yeah. Well, I think on that happy note, this might be a good time to end our conversation. My guest today has been Mastena Nazarian, who's an Alexander Technique teacher in Melbourne, Australia. If anything that we've talked about intrigues you and you live in Melbourne, we're going to put a link to her website by the interview. You can contact her. And if you live anywhere else in the world, I'll put a link to a website that will tell you more about the Alexander Technique and will enable you to find a teacher wherever you live. Mastena, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thank you very much, Robert.